Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5. The Game, Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise with you. Football Friday, 9 o'clock hour. We've got our picks coming up 9:30 this morning. The big finish at 9:45. But the Preds opened up camp yesterday. They've got a practice tomorrow. And we now talk a little Nashville Predators camp with our buddy Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, I threw out this question 2 hours ago on the show, and I look at this year, and I think a lot of people would, and I think it's probably the consensus opinion that it's probably Stanley Cup championship or bust. There's really only one end result that I believe is acceptable at this point. But how do we go about the regular season in navigating 82 games, whether it's from a media standpoint, a fan standpoint, knowing that ultimately we're just going to judge this team based off of May and June?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it makes my job a lot more difficult coming into training camp knowing that the stuff that people really care about really won't happen until April. And I hate to agree with Jared, but I know that he and Floyd have been on this kick lately where they don't care about the regular season at all, to paraphrase them. Just as Floyd says, get me to the playoffs, baby. So I really do feel like that's where this fan base is for the most part. I mean, they've seen this team make it to the Stanley Cup final. They saw them win the president. They've seen them win the President's Trophy, only to fall in the second round. They saw them have an inconsistent year last year that led to a first-round upset. So I wouldn't blame sections of the fan base if they really don't feel like really tuning into this team until near the end of the regular season. But, I mean, this is, in my opinion, a pivotal season for this group because we talked about, I know that, especially Braden, I know that the idea of a championship window in the NHL, the concept of that is fairly flimsy. You know, just when we think a team's window is closed, they win. Or when we think a team's championship window is wide open, you know, they aren't able to win. But I think this group of Nashville Predators are closer to the end of their window than the beginning. And I think the more time that goes on without them winning, the closer it gets to this team having to make some significant changes, and they did make one this offseason by trading PK Subban, but next summer they're going to have to make even more with Roman Josi's contract extension whenever that is signed kicking in. So, I mean, I feel like this group, you know, while still relatively in their prime, is closer to the end of their quote-unquote window. So, I mean, until we get to April, we're not going to really know.
Looking at rookie camp and this roster, you talked about the PK Subban trade, Adam. It does feel like the rookie farm system has been replenished to some degree. It's not great again, but it's certainly better than where it was maybe this time a year ago or 2 years ago, as they've added two draft classes and the Subban trade. Jeremy Davies looks like a nice prospect. My question for you, though, Rem Pitlick, we know Fabro's got a spot on the roster. The question I have, though, is I just don't see a lot of openings in the starting lineup. I don't know where there is space for some of these younger players to maybe earn some ice time to show that they're worthy. Am I crazy to see it that way, or do you think we're going to see a bunch of new names starting and making bigger impacts?
When I did a sort of a initial breakdown of the Predators training camp roster for The Athletic yesterday, and there were 53, I believe, players that were invited to training camp. And when I did when I broke it down by position, and in the forward group, I have 12 locks already to make the opening night roster, which is all you need to play a game. So it's interesting to me because there are a few players that could be battling for spots, some of those younger players. You mentioned Rem Pitlick. Of course, there's Eli Tolvanen, Daniel Carr, who signed a league minimum deal, the reigning AHL MVP, and then you have some players that have been around for a few years like Freddie Goudreau and Mika Salamaki. You know, this team prefers to keep 8 defensemen on their roster, which only leaves room for one extra forward. But I'm wondering if maybe they'll switch their thinking this season to start and have 2 extra forwards if those bubble players make it more difficult for them. But, you know, Rem Pitlick and Eli Tolvanen, I think, really impressed at that rookie tournament. Now, you probably expected them to because they're 2 of the more skilled prospects that the Predators have. But I really like the strides that especially Eli Tolvanen made. Working against those 2 players, however, is the fact that they're exempt from waivers, which means the Predators can cut them and they immediately go to Milwaukee. They don't have to worry about passing through waivers. So that works against them. So I really do think that both of them have to blow away the competition in training camp in order to make a spot. But, you know, I was on with Jared and Floyd yesterday, and the question mark, there are multiple question marks I have about this group, but the biggest question mark, one of the biggest question marks I have is, you know, where's the scoring going to come from on the wings after Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson, and I guess you could include Craig Smith in that category. You know, Calle Järnkrok had 4 goals in his final 68 games last year when you include the playoffs. I mean, Rocco Grimaldi, we know how wonderful of a story he was last year, but can he repeat it or improve upon his performance from last year after getting a $1 million contract in arbitration? You know, Mika Salamaki, Freddie Goudreau, they're not giving you offense. You know, this team needs offense from their wings in the bottom six. That's why Daniel Carr is an intriguing add for this team, and then that's why Ellie Tolvanen and Ren Pitlick are going to be under the spotlight. So I think these younger players should push and need to push for playing time, because if the status quo is what this opening night roster is going to be, I don't know where the offense is coming from in the bottom six, and that concerns me.
Adam, from the power play specifically, is this coaching staff under the microscope from opening night every single night, from Lavi to McCarthy to Muse to the newly acquired Dan Lambert? Are people going to be nitpicking this on a night-in, night-out basis?
I think so, at least to start, just because of how bad it was last year. And I'm intrigued to see, you know, what Dan Lambert brings to this group. I mean, his teams in the Western Hockey League were very successful on the power play. And for me, the key is, for him and the team in general, finding ways to generate more scoring chances on the power play from the high-danger area. If you look at heat maps of this team on the power play, it's really cold right in front of the net, in the slot, and in the crease area. And that's not a winning formula, as we know. You can't continue to just throw shots in from the point and hope it works. That's just not how the NHL operates anymore on the power play. But I think in general, specifically to Peter, I think this is the first time in his tenure with the Predators, which is now in his 6th season, that he is going to be under immense pressure from this fan base. I mean, we're not a harsh sports market here in Nashville, but I really do think that if this team does not show significant improvement in certain areas and does not get back to, you know, the places in the playoffs that it has shown it can go, I mean, I really do think, you know, that the heat is going to be on Peter this season. I'm not going to say he's on the hot seat right now. I'm going to say it's on a low simmer as we enter training camp, but if this team doesn't find consistency and then bows out in the playoffs earlier than expected, I mean, I'm not going to be surprised to hear people in Nashville calling for Peter's job.
Adam, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. We'll be touching base again very soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
You got it. Adam Vingan covers the Predators for The Athletic. A low simmer. Just kind of on that back burner, on low.
And that's what, you know, that's what I kind of alluded to early in the show, that, you know, we can talk about the power play, we can talk about the defense, and you both of you guys are spot on with that. But it all falls on the desk or at the feet of one guy. And you can't change players. You can only change coaches so many times. I'm saying assistant coaches. And then eventually it becomes the guy in charge. And Lavi, as much as we like Lavi, if it's one of those seasons where, you know, for all intents and purposes, this is it's a top five NHL team. And if they bow out in the playoffs in the first round, then yeah, people are going to start to wonder, is he on the same path as he was with his prior two teams?
Nick, you are in a unique situation to discuss Peter Laviolette and his style, though. You're probably the only person in the city that actually covered him in Philly and are now covering him here. Has there been the change that we all talk about? And so I think that's part of why there's a chance that those last two, you know, when his stop in Carolina and his stop in Philly ended the way they did, Derek, and you pointed it out earlier, that the act sort of wore thin, you know, quickly, mm-hmm. even though there was lots of success, there has been a change in him.
You can only be full throttle for so long before people tune you out, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Do you see that change being real?
I think so.
Real?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's lightened up. I think he knows when to take the foot off the gas and when to, you know, get behind guys, close door, and chew people out. But at some point, you know, we continue to point out the shelf life for Peter Laviolette. To me, and I'm trying not to, because I really like Peter. I like that, the Bill Belichick approach, the no-nonsense, the Saban stuff. Like, he's from that cloth of coaching, Tom Coughlin. I love that style. So I don't want to, like, you know, look at Laviolette and be a homer from his Philly days, because they got to the Cup and also lost when he was with the Flyers. But at some point, it's got to be the guys in the locker room. Whether that's Roman Josi, the captain, it just feels like there are too many laissez-faire, nice guys on this team. And I know not everybody needs to have that smashing a Gatorade cooler with a baseball bat mentality. But what's the one thing that we really gravitated towards last May was when Craig Smith, and we played the soundbite a million times on the show, about how he said he was pissed off losing sleep at night. Like, I want more of that hellfire and brimstone approach.
He actually showed some emotion.
Yeah.
I think, but Lavi's not lacking in intensity, though.
No, no.
While he has chilled out and cooled down and is evolved, let's call it an evolution, right? Everybody has to evolve and grow, otherwise you're not going to, you know, in any industry, you're going to get left behind. And so, clearly Lavi has evolved from his prior coaching stops. Is that the right balance then? Because we know he's not a chill dude. We know he's not in the locker room just kind of calm and mellow and like just not, you know, he's an intense guy. And like you said, the Belichickian sort of thing. Just because he's not saying anything doesn't mean there's not a lot of intensity underneath the surface, right? But it's managing that and then passing that on to the team so that they can use it is what makes a great coach. If he's going to then always have a decent team, a good team, that doesn't make much sense to move on from him then. Because if he's good enough to go to the Cup, which he's done now every stop of his head coaching career, right? Like, yeah. He's gone to the Cup every time.
Wanted to.
At all the three stops, at least the last three stops, then why not just, and he's cooled out and chilled out a little bit, why not just let it go and just let it play itself out and we'll see what happens. So I think the key is if you continually not hit expectations, if you continue to do that over a long period of time, you end up like Marvin Lewis, right? Really good coach, good team, but never living up to the hype. I think that's the thing he's going to have to avoid. So it probably is going to take another run somewhere to kind of keep people at bay because, again, expectations are what they are, which is a championship.
737-1025, the number, if you want to give us your expectations. We've got our football picks at the bottom of the hour, and then the big finish at 945. We're back after this on ESPN 1025 The Game. Join the game Nashville at Shoney's across from the stadium to pregame for the Titans season opener against the Colts. Stop by the game tent for some great gear and awesome prizes. D-Mace might have a take brewing regarding Antonio Brown's latest social media endeavor.
Uh-oh.
That could be coming up in a matter of moments. But let's get a Preds call in here as we wrap up that conversation. Our buddy Tristan from North Carolina is checking in. What's up, T?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just because I left Nashville doesn't mean I don't stop listening.
good job.
Yep. So with respect to Peter Laviolette, I'm glad we brought up Nick Cale's experience in Philadelphia because that part of Lavi's career fascinates me. Simply because Lavi, from 2010 to 2014, the trajectory of his career is very much similar to exactly what's occurring in Nashville. 2010, he went to the Stanley Cup Finals against Chicago. We all know about that. That was the weirdest goal in history. For Chicago to win in 2010, and then so far went to second round, went to first round, and then the season following, after that, he was on the chopping block for Philly. Now with this in particular, with Nashville, the same thing is occurring, where he went to the Stanley Cup final, second round, first round exit, and now instead of what Vingan's saying of a low simmer, I think the fan base is similar in saying, that, oh, you know, they want Lavi's head, which will never, you know, I will never understand. However, I like the Predators giving Lavi the chance to redeem himself here because I think the opportunity is there that instead of saying, well, we're done, they're going, you know what, we added a whole bunch of new pieces, we have a good developmental system here, and he can work with it. So I'm really excited to see what goes with Lavi in particular now because the Predators haven't given up on him. Similar to instead of what happened in Philly, where after that first round exit, he was gone within, I think, 20 games, if I'm correct, Nick. I'm not sure completely on the history on that one. But overall, as far as expectations are concerned, the Braden, I'll continuously agree with you that the whole Stanley Cup window thing is a joke. St. Louis proved it this year. So when we're moving forward, The thought here is, as far as expectations are concerned, we have to worry about our bottom six a little bit more, focus more defensively on our efforts. I would be shocked if this year, going into the trade deadline coming up in February, we wouldn't go more towards a defensive effort. But as far as the season is concerned, I'm excited for the 82 games. I'm not, you know, May, June type deal. I'm ready for all 82 games to see what Duchesne adds, how Jofa improves. And, again, Craig Smith. Again, Craig Smith, seeing what he does and just moving forward without PK Subban. We'll see how that pans out, because as often as we say about Peter Laviolette in his head, I'm wondering how long it'll take for Preds fans, if Duchesne doesn't pan out, how often people go, we traded PK Subban for that. I really hope that doesn't occur, but I can hear that coming out of Preds fans' mouths if Duchesne doesn't score within the first five games of the season.
Yeah, and that'll be a complete overreaction.
Yeah, that's insane. A lot to digest and unpack.
Hey, good offseason primer, though, too.
Well, thank you for the preview.
No, it was good. Listen, all the information was
good. He gave us 35 pages of data.
Exactly.
There was only a couple
of players. I felt like I was reading a magazine there.
He did not mention Rocco Grimaldi or Austin Watson, so I'm disappointed. But, listen, most of that was accurate. I am of the belief that St. Louis showed us last year that there's no such thing as a window. The Capitals, we thought the window was closed for them, and they came back and they won it. It's just the window thing is just not a thing I sort of truly believe in. They are a very good team that is a competitive team and is a contender. Now, how long are they a contender? We don't know, but they're a contender right now. Let's go out and see what they can do. Adam Vingan was far more concerned with secondary scoring. You know what I mean? He's talking about, where are we going to get goals from outside of Jofa and then Craig Smith? You know, Duchesne and Turris, you know, Callie Yarncrook wasn't scoring. Is Rocco Grimaldi going to be a guy you can count on for 15 or 20 goals? What does Colton Sissons bring to the table from a goal-scoring standpoint? Those aren't necessarily their strengths. So there is a question of secondary. Like, it's funny to have such a great team or well-constructed team to be sitting here going, what about the power play? What about the head coach? What about the defense? What about the offense? That's pretty much all of the hockey things. There's no other parts of the hockey other than the penalty kill and goaltending. And we feel very comfortable about the goaltending, and we feel pretty good about the PK. So there's still a lot of questions, but it's still a very good team. So let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. There's questions, but it's a good team.
If you don't believe that there are windows in football or basketball or baseball or hockey or whatever, team sport, then you're sadly mistaken. That's why GMs, head coaches do certain things and make certain moves, because they know that we're only going to be on top for a little while, and we are only the rabbit for a little while, and then we become the individual with the gun, and we're hunting the rabbit. So to me, there are windows in sports. Now, you might have a window of 4 years where everything is just working well and you want to take advantage of it. And maybe you missed it, but then 3 or 4 years later, and Washington proved it, you know, that, yeah, you can win one. You know, if things fall in place right, yes, you can win one. But when you have a collection of guys, the best, like the Titans, the Predators, this is the best stretch of hockey they've played in franchise history. You can't tell me this is not a window where they need to take advantage of it, because everybody's catching up. So, yes, they might win one, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 years from now. But that window for them to capitalize on it then, right now, it is a window.
It could very well be exactly the toughest division in the NHL.
So there is a window to where you have everything in place.
Right, and I'm not disagreeing with that concept. I just think that the St. Louis Blues, their sort of strategy for winning a Stanley Cup championship did not include firing their head coach midway through the season, starting a rookie goaltender, and being in last place in January. Like, those are not and they missed the playoffs the year before. Like, the reason, like, they showed that you can win a championship when you don't know that you're in a window, right? Like, the Predators made it to the Stanley Cup final not knowing that they were in the window.
That was a start, like, of the window.
Right, you didn't know that. And so maybe the Blues are at the start of the window. And again, my point is I'm not denying that a team is well-constructed. The Titans are well-constructed. And in football, I think it's different. I think hockey, I do think hockey is different than all these sports. In basketball, your window is how long do you have your two stars together, mm-hmm. right? Like, you've got LeBron and Anthony Davis. There's a window for the Lakers to win a championship with LeBron and Anthony Davis. That, like, in basketball, you know what it is. It's when you've got these guys. In the NFL, it's when you have a quarterback on a rookie deal or you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's you kind of know when you're going to be a contender or be competitive or be in the window. In hockey, it's just so different once you get to the postseason. You can be the best team in the NHL every single year for five straight years, and that is your quote-unquote window, and not win a stinking thing. And then the St. Louis Blues can come along, fire their coach with a rookie goaltender, and be in last place. And like that, they had no plans of being in their window at all, and all of a sudden they're the champions. So the reason I say that I don't believe in the quote-unquote window anymore is not like that the Preds don't have everything like you're saying, Derek. They have everything constructed in place to be a good team. That's absolutely now is their chance to win a championship. But it doesn't mean that it can't, once it goes down and they rebuild, that it can't just come out of nowhere again and all of a sudden be good, because St. Louis just showed us that you can. The Capitals showed us that everyone thought their window was closed, and then they came back and won a championship when they weren't as good the following year against the Pittsburgh Penguins, right? So that you just don't know kind of when they're opening and when they're closing, and we think we do, but we don't really.
One piece of news from the NHL Central Division, the Winnipeg Jets announcing today that defenseman Dustin Byfuglien has been granted a personal leave of absence from the hockey team. No idea what that entails, but...
I don't know which direction Winnipeg's going. They're still extremely talented, but there's a lot of pieces that have to come together. There's a lot of salaries they're going to have to pay. I don't know. St. Louis, you know, Colorado seems like they're trending in the right direction over the last couple of years.
And how do we say the Blues goaltender last name?
Binnington.
Boom. He's one for one to start the year.
Oh, God.
We'll come back to that in a couple weeks.
I just want to thank Nick Cale, Derek Mason, Marquise Munson, Pod Pockets back there for getting me to this place where I'm able to say the St. Louis goaltender's name correctly.
That is correct. All right, coming up next, speaking of being correct, will we be correct more often than we will be incorrect? That's the key, because it's time for the Morning Drive Pigskin Football Picks against the spread next on Morning Drive. Hi, boys. Let's give out some football picks against the spread. Time for our Morning Drive Pigskin Picks, where last week, here is how it went. Braden Gall.
Hey-o.
Dominant, 3-1. Basic math says 75%. That would put you in legendary status.
Phenomenal.
For gambling. D-Mace, 2-3 last week.
Dang it.
Mm-mm. Underwater for the year, D-Mace.
I'm coming back. Don't worry about it.
You making a comeback?
Yeah, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
What do you think about... what do you think about the old Liberty Buffalo matchup this week?
I'll let you know. Okay. Don't worry about it.
All right. Idaho, Wyoming.
I was a abysmal 4-7 because the NFL just destroyed me. 3-3 in college, but 1-4 in the pros.
So that means I'm leading right now in college?
You're the only guy. Wow. So you're 4-4 on the year.
All right.
D Mace is 4-5.
Cool.
I am 12-15. And Hot Pockets, who made his debut last week, fresh out of the microwave, 2-1.
Yeah, that's what I put the microwave on for now, my Hot Pockets.
I think you're closer to toaster oven at this point. Like with a 3-1 record, I mean, that's toaster oven territory.
All right, so I think we do it basically like, you know, the next hole on the golf course.
Oh,
the guy
really?
Who birdied the last hole should lead off, and the guys who had bogeys and triple bogeys.
All right, let's start in the NFL, which means Marquise goes first.
Okay.
And then Nick follows that up.
All right, I'll take the 49ers this week.
Do you have any idea who they're playing and what the spread is?
Yeah, the Bengals.
Okay. Do you have a number?
Hold on.
Or are you just playing? Are you just playing money lines here?
Oh, it's +2.
Do you know what +2 means?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's better that you don't. If you didn't.
I know what that means.
So
I'm not that clueless.
So now who are you taking?
I am taking the 49ers in that.
Okay.
San Francisco +2. All right, who else you got?
I'm going to go Saints +2. They're going against the Rams.
Little revenge there.
Good to know who they're playing.
They did not look good in the first half, but they looked good in the second half last week.
I'm going to take the Steelers -4.
Okay, Christina Buswell, our production assistant, approves. Pittsburgh fan through and through.
Here we go.
And that's it.
Okay.
Three picks.
I'm going to go three.
Nick, who you got in the NFL?
Give me the New York Football Giants. I believe they are a small home underdog to the Buffalo Bills. What number do we have over there?
I don't have it in front of me, dude.
You do not have that in front of you?
No.
I thought you had that up.
I don't look at the NFL. Right. Sorry. I look at the college.
Give me the New York Giants. There's no way I'm betting on Josh Allen to win a game on the road.
What's the Giants point spread?
Let's see if we can pull this up here. It's a well-oiled machine here.
We should know this stuff. Yeah. Giants plus two. That sounds about right.
Giants plus two. They're going to win that game outright.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning gets it done.
I don't know what that means.
That means they win the game. Forget the spread. They don't need the points. They're going to win the game. Give me.
You like them to win the game outright.
I do. All right. I do. And I'm going to give you the Giants in a parlay with a college team coming up as well. Give me the Miami Dolphins plus 19 at home.
There you go.
Lee Sterling said it best. I think double-digit road favorites in the NFL only cover about 32% of the time.
Yeah. 32%.
That is correct. So you're going to give me Ryan Fitzpatrick at home. They're going to be down like 26, 25 points. Mm-hmm. They'll get a backdoor cover. They'll lose by 17 or 18. And then I'm going to take the Titans. I'm going to put them in my picks this week. I like the Titans this week. It's going to be a sweat, but I'll lay the three. Titans win 24-20.
Oh, wow.
So those are my NFL.
Ooh, okay. Giants plus two, Dolphins plus 19, Titans minus three. There
correct.
You go.
All right. D-Mace, are you ready to roll, or are you still doing your data and analytical research?
Or am I first because I...
Oh, yeah. You're up first.
I not only had the best weekend, but
college.
I also am in the lead, technically.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with the NC State Wolfpack, one of two teams in college football that has not allowed a touchdown yet on defense, playing against a West Virginia team that is atrocious. Give me NC State minus 6.5 on the road against West Virginia. That feels like a low number. All they need to do is cover by one score. The USC Trojans and new freshman quarterback in the Graham Harrell Air Raid offense, Keydon Slovis. That's right. Don't sleep.
Sounds like a Preds prospect.
On Keydon Slovis. Excellent defensive prospect. Plays the blue line exceptionally well. Great on the penalty kill. Keydon Slovis, USC at BYU minus 4. A couple of road favorites there for you to get started. I'm going to continue on my road favorite roll here.
Okay.
The Oklahoma Sooners and Jalen Hurts laying 23.5 points at UCLA. They suck at football. UCLA is bad. They're so bad. Give me Jalen Hurts and the Sooners to put up another 60 or 70 points this weekend. All they got to do is mildly stop UCLA to
should
cover
Chip,
the 23
Chip Kelly just like go back to television? Just shut
maybe,
it down?
Maybe.
It's over for Chip.
There's a lot of concern. And then I'm going to go into a rivalry game, which is very dangerous, but I think James Franklin, because Pitt and Penn State, your state here, Nick, Pitt and Penn State are not going to play for a little while. This game, while James Franklin does James Franklin things and says it doesn't matter, actually really matters to him a lot, and he wants to put Pittsburgh out of its misery. Give me Penn State and Sean Clifford in that new offense, minus 17.5 at home against Pittsburgh. I think Penn State rolls big. They had a little slow start last week against Buffalo, and I think they get out to a hot start this week. I'm taking four favorites, three on the road. I know that's stupid, but I'm gonna continue to do it.
Well, if you buy into the line is telling you something theory, that is your approach, and it could be a successful one.
I don't even know what that just meant.
Yeah,
okay.
Me either.
Does that mean Vegas is telling me to take those teams?
Correct. Doesn't mean it always works out that way.
Right, but doesn't that mean Vegas is trying to trick me into giving them money?
It's up to you to decipher the line. Remember, Vegas sets a line based on how they believe the public will perceive it. Mm. Keep that in mind when you wager, folks.
I hate that.
D-Mace, you got any JUCO totals?
I had to wait for the music to start. You know what? I'm going to appease one Braden Gall here.
Oh.
And he wanted the Liberty in Buffalo. He wanted the Liberty in Buffalo over-under. And right now is at 55.5 total. I am going with the under.
What'd you say? 54.5.
55.5. I'm sorry. I'm going under. With the under.
Old Hugh Freeze, coaching from a hospital bed.
Absolutely.
Can I just complain really quickly?
What's that?
Because I'm the one that usually goes in and updates these, like on a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And it's easy to pull up my app and go to the Pac-12 and get a Braden score or get a score for the Big Ten for me.
But
do you know how much
like
time
it.
I got to spend searching the scores of these games?
Our listeners don't
I got to type it in Google to find out what conference these programs are in.
But our listeners, this is what they want to hear. This is what they listen to this show for.
My wife's like, what are you doing over there? You look mad. I'm like, I'm trying to find the total on the Buffalo game.
Hey, that Buffalo's Division I. You can find
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I'm going to be
they're
right
FBS.
With you guys, okay, you this week. UMass in
also,
Charlotte. You can find this one.
Hey, Will, the Fighting Will Healy's, baby.
Absolutely.
The next Tennessee head football coach.
The total is 67 and a half, okay?
That's a lot of points.
I'm going the under on that one,
all
okay?
Right. Got it.
Taking the under, okay? Now, let's move on here. Georgia State.
Oh, no.
Western Michigan, 69 and a half points. That seems extremely too high, but they
6,900.
They did score 30-something points against UT.
Yeah, they scored 38.
Yes. Man, I'm going under on this one. I don't think that's going to.
He's playing sloppy football this week, D-Mace. Yeah, yeah.
He's going under just under, like his under. Record.
Yeah.
Ooh. No, no. Whoa. You're 4-5. You're not as invincible as the Luke Skywalker's making it out to be here.
I told you guys I'm coming back, okay?
Don't
worry about it.
First place right here, baby.
I have two more games. Eastern Carolina Navy, 53.5.
Ooh, these are real games,
Yeah, these are real games. I'm trying to make it easy for this guy right here, okay?
Don't sleep on Ken Niumatalolo.
I am going the over on that one.
What was the total?
53.5. I'm going the over, okay?
That's low.
Yeah, very low. Alabama, South Carolina,
Bama.
62.
Ooh, this is real stuff here, boys.
I'm going the under. I don't think South Carolina will score, but I don't think Alabama will score 62 points either.
So like 51-0.
Yeah, I'm going the over on that. I mean the under. Okay. Under 62 points.
I got you down.
So
is that it?
There's your picks.
Okay.
Our picks. My picks.
All right.
The champ.
What?
I got five college games for you. Four dogs, one favorite. Give me Iowa State plus 1.5 at home in Ames against Iowa. I'll take the Cyclones to win that game outright.
That might be the best game of the weekend.
Give me Air Force plus 4 on the road at Colorado. I will also take Stanford plus 9. Braden, you told me KJ Costello is active and will start for the Cardinals.
He will, but their all-pro future top 10 draft pick left tackle Walker Little is out for the year.
Okay.
Also, the first time Stanford's ever played a non-bowl game in the state of Florida.
All right. Stanford.
Meaningless note for you guys there.
Stanford plus 9 at UCF. Give me my alma mater, the Temple Owls.
Hey.
All they do is cover.
All right.
Temple plus 7 against Maryland, and then I'll give you one favorite. I'm going to lay 7.5 with Virginia against Florida State. Because I think the Seminoles and Willie Taggart absolutely stink.
That might be true. Bryce Perkins of Virginia, fun to watch. Could be the second best team in the ACC. Saying, hey, Clemson, we'll see you in the ACC title game, baby.
All right, that's it for the picks. Big Finish coming up next. All right, boys, let's give out some football picks against the spread. Time for our morning dry pigskin picks, where last week, here is how it went. Braden Gall.
Heyo.
Dominant, 3-1. Basic math says 75%. That would put you in legendary status.
Phenomenal.
For gambling. D-Mace, 2-3 last week.
Dang it.
Underwater for the year, D-Mace.
I'm coming back. Don't worry about it.
You making a comeback?
Yeah, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
What do you think about... What do you think about the old Liberty Buffalo matchup this week?
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Idaho, Wyoming.
I was a abysmal 4-7 because the NFL just destroyed me. 3-3 in college, but 1-4 in the pros.
So that means I'm leading right now in college?
You're the only guy.
Wow.
So you're 4-4 on the year.
All right.
D-Mace is 4-5.
Cool.
I am 12-15. And Hot Pockets, who made his debut last week, fresh out of the microwave, 2-1.
Yeah, that's what I put the microwave on for my Hot Pockets.
I think you're closer to toaster oven at this point.
Like
with a 3-1 record, I mean, that's toaster oven territory.
All right, so I think we do it basically like, you know, the next hole on the golf course.
Oh,
the guy
really?
Who birdied the last hole should lead off, and the guys who had bogeys and triple bogeys.
All right, let's start in the NFL, which means Marquise goes first.
Okay.
And then Nick follows that up.
All right, I'll take the 49ers this week.
Do you have any idea who they're playing and what the spread is?
Yeah, the Bengals.
Okay. Do you have a number?
Hold on.
Or are you just playing? Are you just playing money lines here?
Oh, it's plus 2.
Do you know what plus 2 means?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's better that you don't. If you didn't,
I know what that means.
So
how, I'm so not Hollywood. That, I'm not that close.
So now, who are you taking?
I am taking the 49ers in that.
Okay.
San Francisco plus 2. All right. Who else you got?
I'm gonna go Saints. Plus 2. They're going against the Rams.
Little revenge there.
Good to know who they're playing.
They did not look good in the first half, but they looked good in the second half last week.
I'm going to take the Steelers minus 4.
Okay. Christina Buswell, our production assistant, approves. Pittsburgh fan through and through.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Okay.
Three picks.
I'm going to go three.
Nick, who you got in the NFL?
Give me the New York Football Giants. I believe they are a small home underdog to the Buffalo Bills. What number do we have over there?
I don't have it in front of me, dude.
You do not have that in front of you?
No.
I thought you had that up.
I don't look at the NFL. Right. Sorry, I look at the college.
Give me the New York Giants. There's no way I'm betting on Josh Allen to win a game on the road.
What's the Giants point spread?
Let's see if we can pull this up here. It's a well-oiled machine here.
We should know this stuff.
Yeah.
Giants plus two. That sounds about right.
Giants plus two. They're going to win that game outright.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning gets it done.
I don't know what that means.
That means they win the game. Forget the spread. They don't need the points. They're going to win the game. Give me.
You like them to win the game out.
I do.
All right.
I do. And I'm going to give you the Giants in a parlay with a college team coming up as well. Give me the Miami Dolphins plus 19 at home.
There you go.
Lee Sterling said it best. I think double-digit road favorites in the NFL only cover about 32% of the time.
Yeah. 32%. That's
that is correct. So you're going to give me Ryan Fitzpatrick at home. They're going to be down like 26, 25 points. Mm-hmm. They'll get a backdoor cover. They'll lose by 17 or 18. And then I'm going to take the Titans. I'm going to put them in my picks this week. I like the Titans this week. It's going to be a sweat, but I'll lay the three. Titans win 24-20.
Oh, wow.
So those are my NFL.
Ooh, okay. Giants plus two, Dolphins plus 19, Titans minus three. There
correct.
You go.
All right. D-Mace, are you ready to roll, or are you still doing your data and analytical research?
Or am I first because I...
Oh, no, yeah. You're up first.
I not only had the best weekend, but
college.
I also am in the lead, technically.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with the NC State Wolfpack, one of two teams in college football that has not allowed a touchdown yet on defense, playing against a West Virginia team that is atrocious. Give me NC State minus 6.5 on the road against West Virginia. That feels like a low number. All they need to do is cover by one score. The USC Trojans and new freshman quarterback in the Graham Harrell Air Raid offense, Keydon Slovis. That's right. Don't sleep.
Sounds like a Preds prospect.
On Keydon Slovis. Excellent defensive prospect. Plays the blue line exceptionally well. Great on the penalty kill. Keydon Slovis, USC at BYU minus 4. A couple of road favorites there for you to get started. I'm going to continue on my road favorite roll here.
Okay.
The Oklahoma Sooners and Jalen Hurts laying 23.5 points at UCLA. They suck at football. UCLA is bad. They're so bad. Give me Jalen Hurts and the Sooners to put up another 60 or 70 points this weekend. All they got to do is mildly stop UCLA to
cover
the
23.5. Chip Kelly just like go back to television? Just shut
maybe,
it down?
Maybe.
It's over for Chip.
There's a lot of concern. And then I'm going to go into a rivalry game, which is very dangerous, but I think James Franklin, because Pitt and Penn State, your state here, Nick, mm-hmm. Pitt and Penn State are not going to play for a little while. This game, while James Franklin does James Franklin things and says it doesn't matter, actually really matters to him a lot, and he wants to put Pittsburgh out of its misery. Give me Penn State and Sean Clifford and that new offense, minus 17.5 at home against Pittsburgh. I think Penn State rolls big. They had a little slow start last week against Buffalo, and I think they get out to a hot start this week. I'm taking four favorites, three on the road. I know that's stupid, but I'm gonna continue to do it.
Well, if you buy into the line is telling you something theory, that is your approach, and it could be a successful one.
I don't even know what that just meant.
Yeah,
okay.
Me either.
Does that mean Vegas is telling me to take those teams?
Correct. Doesn't mean that always works out that way.
Right, but doesn't that mean Vegas is trying to trick me into giving them money?
It's up to you to decipher the line. Remember, Vegas sets a line based on how they believe the public will perceive it. Mm. Keep that in mind when you wager, folks.
I hate that.
D-Mace, you got any JUCO totals?
I had to wait for the music to start. You know what? I'm going to appease one Braden Gall here.
Oh.
And he wanted the Liberty in Buffalo. He wanted the Liberty in Buffalo over under. And right now is at 55.5 total. I am going with the under.
What'd you say? 54.5.
55.5. I'm sorry. I'm going under. With the under.
Old Hugh Freeze, coaching from a hospital bed.
Absolutely.
Can I just complain really quickly?
What's that?
Because I'm the one that usually goes in and updates these, like on a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And it's easy to pull up my app and go to the Pac-12 and get a Braden score or get a score for the Big Ten for me.
But
do you know how much time
like
I got to spend searching the scores of these games?
Our listeners,
I got to type it in Google to find out what conference these programs are in.
But our listeners, this is what they want to hear. This is what they listen to this show for.
My wife's like, what are you doing over there? You look mad. I'm like, I'm trying to find the total on the Buffalo game.
Hey, that Buffalo's Division I, you can find
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I'm going to be right with you guys, okay, this week. UMass in Charlotte. You can find this one.
Hey, Will, the Fighting Will Healy's, baby.
Absolutely.
The next Tennessee head football coach.
The total is 67 and a half, okay?
That's a lot of points.
I'm going the under on that one, okay?
Got it.
Taking the under, okay? Now, let's move on here. Georgia State.
Oh, no.
Western Michigan. 69 and a half points. That seems extremely too high, but they
6,900.
They did score 30-something points against UT.
Yeah, they scored 38.
Yes. Man, I'm going under on this one. I don't think that's going
he's
to.
He's playing sloppy football this week, D-Bay says. Yeah.
He's going under just under, like his under. Record.
Yeah.
Ooh. No. Oh. You're 4-5. You're not as invincible as the
Luke
Skywalker's making it out to be here.
I told you guys I'm coming back, okay?
Don't
worry about it.
First place right here, baby.
I have two more games. Eastern Carolina Navy, 53.5.
Ooh, these are real games,
Steve. Yeah, these are real games. I'm trying to make it easy for this guy right here, okay?
Don't sleep on Ken Niumatalolo.
I am going the over on that one.
What was the total?
53.5. I'm going the over, okay?
That's low.
Yeah, very low. Alabama, South Carolina,
Bama.
62.
Ooh, this is real stuff here, boys.
I'm going the under. I don't think South Carolina will score, but I don't think Alabama will score 62 points either.
So like 51-0.
Yeah, I'm going the over on that. I mean the under. Okay. Under 62 points.
I got you down.
So
is that it?
There's your picks.
Okay.
Our picks. My picks.
All right.
The champ.
What?
I got five college games for you. Four dogs, one favorite. Give me Iowa State plus 1.5 at home in Ames against Iowa. I'll take the Cyclones to win that game outright.
That might be the best game of the weekend.
Give me Air Force plus 4 on the road at Colorado. I will also take Stanford plus 9. Braden, you told me KJ Costello is active and will start for the Cardinals.
He will, but their all-pro future top 10 draft pick left tackle Walker Little is out for the year.
Okay.
Also, the first time Stanford's ever played a non-bowl game in the state of Florida.
All right. Stanford.
Meaningless note for you guys there.
Stanford plus 9 at UCF. Give me my alma mater to the Temple Owls.
Hey.
All they do is cover.
All right.
Temple plus 7 against Maryland, and then I'll give you one favorite. I'm going to lay 7.5 with Virginia against Florida State. Because I think the Seminoles and Willie Taggart absolutely stink.
That might be true. Bryce Perkins of Virginia, fun to watch. Could be the second best team in the ACC. Saying, hey, Clemson, we'll see you in the ACC title game, baby.
All right, that's it for the picks. Big finish coming up next.
Yeah, Matthew Slater was awesome.
Yeah. We're taking you home. It's the home stretch of Morning Drive. Big finish coming up in a moment. But the reason we're playing a little Take Me Home tonight from Eddie Money is... Sadly, news just came down. Eddie Money passing away today.
Oh, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah. This is an all-time 80s hit. Just figured we'd pay a little homage to Eddie Money here.
Well, that sucks, man.
Yeah.
What a downer. Thanks, right. Thanks, Nick.
No problem. Let's pick it back up. Time for the big finish.
We've had a big show.
All right, boys, time for the big finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive in Braden Gall. It is brought to you by the good peeps at
Nashville Soccer Club inaugural MLS season. Tickets are on sale now at the website. That's right. Check it out. NashvilleSC.com. That's NashvilleSC.com. Get your inaugural season tickets for the MLS right now.
Hollywood, be kind. Please rewind. Welcome into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Marquise Munson with you live here on a Football Friday. Boys, here we go. Home opener coming up on Sunday. The boys are back on the ice. College football this weekend.
UTC, baby. Coming to town. 28-point dog. Let's go, Mox. Oh, wait.
Things change, Mox.
Walla, walla, wah, 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 wah.
You know, now that you did that,
uh-huh.
You have yet to give a wake-up call during the football season.
You're absolutely
I think you're due.
Hold on, let me get in proper
you
position.
Ready? Yep,
you
ready?
Okay. There it is.
And your Tennessee Vols take the field. Josh Ward, WNML, joins us.
I think some of the veterans have attempted to make sure that younger players, or just players on the team in general, they recognize that there is a lot of work that still has to be done and make sure that the buy-in is still there. And it is a good sign that effort was there this past Saturday against BYU. Let's see if Tennessee keeps that up, because we were able to see individual games last year where Tennessee overcame adversity and came out and played really well and was fired up, but they weren't able to keep that going for 12 games. That's a challenge in the locker room. That's a challenge for Jeremy Pruitt and the coaching staff. Tennessee not getting the results it wanted, the process message that they hear so much about, when if things don't go well for you, are you going to continue to try to fight through?
So you're not buying what people said. I think it was a year ago at this time, some publication had him like 27th in the league as far as the depth of the farm system.
That was then. They made the trade for PK. They got rid of PK Subban. Jeremy Davies is going to be the prize possession. He feels like the best piece. Now, the draft pick turned into a kid, the Russian kid, the big winger. You know, you've added Tomasino in the first round this year. You've added depth in the PK Subban trade. So the farm system feels a little bit better than it used to be.
Teron Davenport, Titans reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com.
For this weekend, I think it's going to be another tough game, to be honest with you. And even though Andrew Luck's not playing, Jacoby Brissett is nobody to sleep on. And Dean Pease talked about that yesterday when he said he had a cannon for an arm. I think that the Titans still win this one, though. There's too much going in their favor, and I definitely have them winning this game. And I think it's a big game for Derrick Henry this week. I really do. And I think Adam Humphries is going to make an appearance as well. It's going to be tough, though, because he's going to be matched up against Kenny Moore the second. He's a really good nickel corner, but they run a lot of zones, so that'd give Humphries some opportunities to make things happen. So I think the Titans do win.
Yola, not YOLO. Don't make fun. Yola. Check her out. I just found her about a month ago. She is spectacular.
She was lost?
She is spectacular. Yeah, she was gone for a while, but no, now she's back. Spectacular.
Sound like Christopher Columbus,
dude,
here.
She's awesome. Yola Carter's her full name. She's got one album. Just put it out. Fantastic. Check her out.
Yola Carter.
Yola's really...
You see that little thing I threw in there?
She's like a one-name artist, I guess.
No. He knew it.
What, the Columbus thing?
Yeah.
1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue?
He said she was lost. I'm like, oh.
But was she petrified?
There's another Motown.
There you go. All right.
I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side.
Is it weird to like Shania Twain from the 90s? Like as a...
Still
as like
the a, one as like that a, I...
Well, I don't like her music necessarily, but I always thought Shania Twain was pretty good.
Yeah.
The way you dated Monica and the way you dated Mariah.
Yeah.
Does Shania Twain qualify, or is that... Do I need to not say that again?
Yeah.
I dated Chili.
Ooh, Chili.
How about
I was a left eye.
Faith Hill back
she was
in the 90s?
I dated Faith Hill.
Faith Hill back in the 90s, for sure.
Did you just say you were a Lisa Left Eye Lopez fan?
I love Lisa. Lisa, she was beautiful, man.
She was.
Yeah, I agree with that.
She kicked Andre Rison to the curb for Marquise Munchin.
Munchin?
The new
Hollywood,
Twitter feed.
Hollywood Munchin.
Hollywood Munchin.
Hot Pocket Munchin.
Hot Pocket Munchin.
That's how the fire started.
But no, I get a text from my wife, and she goes, "The gas station by our house is stupid."
Did you ask her, why is this stupid?
I said, LOL, why? She goes, "They don't sell Lunchables."
Why would you be shopping for your kids' lunches at the gas station?
She goes, "What kind of gas station is that?" I was like, "Yeah, I guess. Damn communists." I had a little bit of the munchies last night around 8 o'clock.
What were you doing?
I wasn't doing anything. The Tito's.
He's with his kids there. He may settle down on that.
So I go out to the kitchen, and there was one Lunchable left.
Oh,
and I snatched it. I ate it.
Well,
so my girls don't have lunch today.
No, you're right.
You took the kids' lunch.
No, it didn't matter.
But the turkey ones
were
good.
There was only one left. It was better that he ate it, because then they would have fought over the lunch when they got up.
That's a good point. But let me ask you guys, because I just realized I started doing this yesterday.
Did she know you ate the lunch bowl?
If she's listening, she does now.
Walla walla wah 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 wah.
Jeez. There it is.
Yeah, there it is, indeed. The Morning Drive Daily Rewind.
What do we do for 4 hours?
I don't know.
Something.
All right, quickly, we got about a minute to go. Final thoughts, prediction. Last week, we all went Browns. We were all wrong for the right side of things, as the Titans are now 1-0, and that's a good thing. I'm going to go Titans 24-20. They beat the Colts.
I think the Vols win big. I think they handle their business against UTC tomorrow, and I don't think it changes what happens against Florida, but I think it does give them some confidence, and it does stop the bleeding. So I think the Vols win big. Sunday, I cannot decide at all. I think this is a dead-even game. I think there's a good chance the Colts can win this one. I will take the Titans. Very close.
Titans 24-21. They will have the ball last and have an opportunity to win the football game on a field goal.
All right. Looks like the Colts come in here and win by 10 points then.
Yep. Cairo Santos.
All right. Everybody have a great – and by the way, I'm not even picking that Tennessee-Chattanooga game. I'm not even going to watch it. So if you come to me Monday for any Vols commentary, I'll be just totally shooting from the hip because I am not watching that garbage.
Yeah,
I'll do it for you guys.
Yeah, I probably will. All right. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great rest of your Friday. Bye-bye.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, have a wonderful weekend, and I love you.
Yeah, Matthew Slater was awesome.
Yeah. We're taking you home. It's the home stretch of Morning Drive. Big Finish coming up in a moment, but the reason we're playing a little Take Me Home tonight from Eddie Money is, sadly, news just came down. Eddie Money passing away today.
Oh, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah. This is an all-time 80s hit. Just figured we'd pay a little homage to Eddie Money here.
Well, that sucks, man.
Yeah.
What a downer. Thanks, right. Thanks, Nick.
No problem. Let's pick it back up. Time for the Big Finish.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish.
All right, boys, time for the Big Finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive in Braden Gall. It is brought to you by the good peeps at
Nashville Soccer Club inaugural MLS season. Tickets are on sale now at the website. That's right. Check it out. NashvilleSC.com. That's NashvilleSC.com. Get your inaugural season tickets for the MLS right now.
Hollywood, be kind. Please rewind. Welcome into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Marquise Munson with you live here on a Football Friday. Boys, here we go. Home opener coming up on Sunday. The boys are back on the ice. College football this weekend.
UTC, baby. Coming to town. 28-point dog. Let's go, Mox. Oh, wait.
Things change, Mox.
Walla, walla, wah, 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 wah.
You know, now that you did that. Uh-huh. You have yet to give a wake-up call during the football season.
I
think you're due. Hold on, let me get in proper position.
Yep, you're go ready? Ahead. Okay. There it is.
And your Tennessee Vols take the field. Josh Ward, WNML, joins us.
I think some of the veterans have attempted to make sure that younger players, or just players on the team in general, they recognize that there is a lot of work that still has to be done and make sure that the buy-in is still there. And it is a good sign that effort was there this past Saturday against BYU. Let's see if Tennessee keeps that up, because we were able to see individual games last year where Tennessee overcame adversity and came out and played really well and was fired up, but they weren't able to keep that going for 12 games. That's a challenge in the locker room. That's a challenge for Jeremy Pruitt and the coaching staff. Tennessee not getting the results it wanted. The process message that they hear so much about, when if things don't go well for you, are you going to continue to try to fight through?
So you're not buying what people said. I think it was a year ago at this time, some publication had him like 27th in the league as far as the depth of the farm system.
That was then. They made the trade for PK. They got rid of PK Subban. Jeremy Davies is going to be the prize possession. He feels like the best piece. Now, the draft pick turned into a kid, the Russian kid, the big winger. You know, you've added Tomasino in the first round this year. You've added depth in the PK Subban trade. So the farm system feels a little bit better than it used to be.
Teron Davenport, Titans reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com.
For this weekend, I think it's going to be another tough game, to be honest with you. And even though Andrew Luck's not playing, Jacoby Brissett is nobody to sleep on. And Dean Pease talked about that yesterday when he said he had a cannon for an arm. I think that the Titans still win this one, though. There's too much going in their favor, and I definitely have them winning this game. And I think it's a big game for Derrick Henry this week. I really do. And I think Adam Humphries is going to make an appearance as well. It's going to be tough, though, because he's going to be matched up against Kenny Moore the second. He's a really good nickel corner, but they run a lot of zones, so that'd give Humphries some opportunities to make things happen. So I think the Titans do win.
Yola. Not YOLO. Don't make fun. Yola. Check her out. I just found her about a month ago. She is spectacular.
She was lost?
She is spectacular. Yeah, she was gone for a while, but no, now she's back. Spectacular.
Sound like Christopher Columbus.
Dude,
here.
She's awesome. Yola Carter's her full name. She's got one album. Just put it out. Fantastic. Check her out.
Yola Carter.
Yola's really, she
see
just
that,
got,
you see that little thing I threw in there?
She's like a one-name artist, do? I guess.
No, he knew it.
What, the Columbus
saying.
Thing?
Yeah.
He said 1492, she Columbus sailed the ocean
lost.
Blue?
He said she was lost. I'm like, oh.
But okay. Was she petrified?
There's another Motown.
There you go.
Is it weird to like Shania Twain from the 90s? Like as a
still
as like
the a, one like that
a,
I
well, I don't like her music love. Necessarily, but I always thought Shania Twain was pretty good.
Yeah,
the way you dated Monica and the way you dated Mariah.
Yeah,
does Shania Twain qualify, or is that do I need to not say? Do I need to not say that again?
Yeah.
I dated Chili.
Ooh, Chili.
How about
I was a left eye.
Faith Hill back
she was
in the 90s?
I dated Faith Hill.
Faith Hill back in the 90s, for sure.
Did you just say you were Chill, a Lisa Left Eye Lopez fan?
I love Lisa. Man. Lisa, she was beautiful, man.
She was.
Yeah, I agree with that.
She kicked Andre Rison to the curb for Marquise Munchin.
Munchin?
The new
Hollywood,
Twitter feed.
Hollywood Munchin.
Hollywood Munchin.
Hot Pocket Munchin.
Hot Pocket Munchin.
That's how the fire started.
But no, I get a text from my wife, and she goes, "The gas station by our house is stupid."
Did you ask her, why is this stupid?
I said, LOL, why? She goes, they don't sell Lunchables.
Why would you be shopping for your kids' lunches
she
at
goes,
the gas station?
She goes, what kind of gas station is that? I was like, yeah, I guess. Damn communists. I had a little bit of the munchies last night around 8 o'clock.
What were you doing?
There was, I wasn't doing anything. the Tito's.
He's with his kids there. He may settle down.
So I go out to the kitchen, and there was one Lunchable left. And I snatched it. I ate it. So
well,
my girls don't have lunch today.
No, you're right.
You took the kids' lunch.
No, it didn't matter.
It was, but the turkey ones
were
good.
There was only one left. It was better that he ate it because then they would have fought over the Lunchable when they got up.
That's a good point. Let me ask you guys, because I just realized I started doing this yesterday.
Did she know you ate the Lunchable?
If she's listening, she does now.
Walla walla wah 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 wah.
Jeez. There it is.
Yeah, there it is, indeed. The Morning Drive Daily Rewind.
What do we do for 4 hours?
I don't know.
Something.
All right, quickly, we got about a minute to go. Final thoughts, prediction. Last week, we all went Browns. We were all wrong for the right side of things, as the Titans are now 1-0, and that's a good thing. I'm going to go Titans 24-20. They beat the Colts.
I think the Vols win big. I think they handle their business against UTC tomorrow, and I don't think it changes what happens against Florida, but I think it does give them some confidence, and it does stop the bleeding. So I think the Vols win big. Sunday, I cannot decide at all. I think this is a dead-even game. I think there's a good chance the Colts can win this one. I will take the Titans. Very close.
Titans 24-21. They will have the ball last and have an opportunity to win the football game on a field goal.
All right. Looks like the Colts come in here and win by 10 points then.
Yep. Cairo Santos.
All right. Everybody have a great – and by the way, I'm not even picking that Tennessee-Chattanooga game. I'm not even going to watch it. So if you come to me Monday for any Vols commentary – I'll be just totally shooting from the hip because I am not watching that garbage.
Yeah,
I'll do it for you guys.
Yeah, I probably will. All right. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great rest of your Friday. Bye-bye.
Bailey, DJ Nashville. Have a wonderful weekend, and I love you.